Begin our service by saying a short prayer to God, and then we're going to sing our first song after that. So let's just bow our heads and be as quiet as we possibly can, and we'll say a prayer to God. Father God, we praise you and thank you that we can come here together this morning and we can worship you. We thank you for this family, which is our church. And Lord, we praise you and thank you that we are members of the kingdom of heaven, members of the kingdom of God. And we thank you and praise you for the privilege of that. And as we worship you this morning, may we remember that privilege and all the good things that you've given us, our loving, good God. Thank you, Lord. We have a game to play before we sing our first song. I forgot about the game, isn't it? Right, okay. Today I have in my treasure box, if any of you have been any adults here, been to a financial advisor recently, then you understand this game, okay? But I'm going to need some three small volunteers. Can I have three small volunteers? Preferably small volunteers who like chocolate. Come on up. There, golly. Any more? Any more? Any small Ruth, was that a hand I saw? Yes, well done. Any more small volunteers who like chocolates? Astrid, Ingeborg, any takers from over there? No, no, no. Lucy's not that small, hang on. She's putting her hand in the air. Any more? Phoebe? No. Okay, Lucy, come on up. The good news is that I'm sure all three of you trust me, don't you? Do you trust me? This is the man who put a stick of dynamite in the hands of a four-year-old last time we had an all-age service. You trust me, don't you? Yeah. Yes, yes, I'm sure you do. There's no tricks in this. This is a very straightforward game, okay? Right, you're all going to be given a stick of gold. Do you see that? Bar gold? Bar gold. One bar gold for you and a bar gold for Lucy. Right. Okay, now, the trick is... Well, no, there are no tricks, sorry. What you have to do, there's three boxes here, you see, and as I said, anybody who's been to a financial advisor will recognise these three boxes. You can choose to invest your bar of gold, right? Now, you have to invest your bar of gold. Now, you can choose from the safe option, which is this one, the risky option, which is this one, or the very risky option, which is that one, okay? Now, the safe option is you can put your bar of gold into that box, and you're guaranteed to get your bar gold back again. Okay, you will definitely get your bar gold back in. Right, the risky one, you can put your bar gold in there and you will definitely get your bar gold back. But you may get something even better than that as well. You may do, okay? The very risky one is you may or may not get your bar gold back. And you may or may not get something even better. Okay? So it's your choice. There's no right answers. There's no wrong answers. It's entirely your choice. You decide, okay? Ollie, do you want to go first? You're going to go medium risk. Okay, remember that. Oh. Ruth's gone medium risk as well. Lucy, high risk athlete. Yep. Typical crew there, typical crew, right, good, thank you very much. Okay, shall we see what they've got? Okay, they may or may not get their, actually on this risky one, they do get their gold back in, don't they? So, let's see. It was you two, wasn't it? There's your gold. And there's your gold. Let's see if there's anything else. There may be, there may not be. Ah, there is. And that's for you. So that was not bad, was it? That's not bad. Are you happy with that choice? Are you happy with your risky option? Okay. Now, Lucy went for the very risky option. Now, Lucy, therefore, doesn't get her gold back. What a shame. Oh, we have to look inside, don't we, to see if there's anything else. Right. Hang on. Let's see what Lucy may or may not have. Oh, there's something. There is something. Good day in the crew household today. There is an even better thing. Good. Thank you ever so much. So, we had two risk takers, and two big risk takers. One big risk taker. Thank you very much. You can go and sit down. We'll come back to that. Now, we're looking today at the parable in Matthew 25. It's written out on the order of service, but you have a chance to read it later on, so don't read it now. And I want to call it the three servants and the master. If you remember the parables, when the three servants go up to the master, well, the master's going to go away, and he calls the three servants to him, and he gives to one of them five bags of gold, another one bag of gold, and how many is it? Let me read the passage again. The first one gets five, the second one gets two, and the third one gets one. That's right. And then he goes away, and then he comes back again, and the one who invested five has invested them, and he's gained another five. He's got 10 bags of gold. The one who had two, that was also invested them, he's gone away, he's got 2 bags of gold. And the master was very pleased with those 2 servants. The third one, he only had one. He wasn't sure what he wanted to do with it. He didn't invest it. He buried it in the ground. And of course, when the master returned, he only had one bag of gold left. He was the safe investor. He was the one who didn't want to take any risks. Now, commonly, and as I said, in our normal church Bibles, this is called the parable of the talents. But I want you to take that out of your minds. Do not think of the parable of talents, because the word talent in the Bible comes from a Greek word, talenton, which simply means a certain weight of a precious metal, a gold, for example. So it's a weight of metal. That's all it means. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with the English word talent. Because if you think about it, if you think this is the parable of talents, then the master comes along and gives 5 talents to Helen, and Helen uses those talents to get 5 more, and then the master says, I'm going to give more talents to Helen. And I've always thought that's a bit unfair, really, isn't it? Because, you know, the talented people get more, the less talented people get less. And that's not right. And that's not what this parable is all about. What it is about the kingdom of heaven and getting prepared for the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, you could call it the kingdom of God. In fact, the other gospel writers do call it the kingdom of God. Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven, just because many Jews didn't mention the word God very much, so they used heaven instead. And it's about preparing ourselves for being part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not a place. It's actually about allowing God to be king over our lives. It's allowing God to rule in our lives. And we are, if we are Christians here, and if we said to God, yes, I want you to be king over our life, then we are part of the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. Because we are friends with Jesus. We are friends with God through Jesus. So we're all part of the kingdom of God. And that means that we have lots of privileges and responsibilities as part of the kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But it's also about knowing God. And it's about trusting God. So Lucy, Ollie, and Ruth knew me. And they weren't quite sure if they trusted me. But in the end, they kind of decided that they trusted me. And we need to bear that in mind as well. Because actually, we need to trust God as our King. So, we're going to now sing our song. And it's a song that reminds us that as we come to God, none of us are good enough by ourselves. None of us are good enough because of our own character or strength or talents. But each one of us is made good enough before God because of what Jesus has done for us. So let's stand and we're going to sing our first song, which is No One Is Good, No One Is Holy Before God. I need someone to cleanse me. Okay, we saw early on that Ollie, Phoebe and Ruth trusted me more or less, trusted me, and that made a difference in terms of their investment decisions, where they were going to stick their bar of gold. Let's see what happens when people don't trust the master, when the people don't trust who's in overall charge of them, in overall authority over them. And let's see what happens then. That's your one.
This is an unbelievable opportunity. Lord Sugar's in the market for a brand new business partner.
This process is not about job, it's about me ploughing £250,000 into a business. Trust me, there are people in this room that are hungry for this deal.
What a brilliant opportunity! I can give you something. Well, a lot of somethings actually. £250,000.
Woo!
own business. He's a very important businessman, you know. An entrepreneur. Risk taker. Well, he has to be. He's taken a risk on me and all the others left in the boardroom.
Very own Linda there, top contestant for The Apprentice. If you don't know what The Apprentice is, you need to ask your mum and dad when you get home, but it's a well-known TV series, goes on late at night. Anyway, Lord Sugar, who you saw in the clip there, was a very important man, very important businessman. He's an entrepreneur, he's a risk taker. He wants to maximise his return. He doesn't put up with fools very gladly, does he? And Linda knew that he would expect some really good ideas from her. He would expect her to come up with a great plan. But the problem was, he's a hard man, isn't he, that Lord Sugar? You wouldn't want to cross Lord Sugar. You don't want to get on the wrong side of Lord Sugar and be in that boardroom when your team has messed up. You don't want to be on the wrong side of Lord Sugar. So she can't completely trust him. He's not the sort of man you can go up and make him a few mistakes and say, I've learnt, Lord Sugar. He's not going to put up with that, is he? He's not sort of a safe environment to learn in, is he, around him? So, what do you think was missing from Linda's relationship with Lord Sugar? Any ideas? Sorry, I've probably said it a few times already, so there's no trust. Trust, yep, trust. And have that sort of relationship with him where you can make a few mistakes and not be afraid of him. So Linda decided it was safer to do nothing at all. I wonder what would happen to her.
You're fired.
None of us want to be fired, do we? None of us want to be fired by Lord Sugar. So one of the things that Lord Sugar is very keen on, isn't he? Whenever they finish an exercise, they have to total up all their score, don't they, and the money they've made. So we're going to try a little bit maths. We're going to do it in maths practice. Now, who's good at maths? Anybody? Right, okay. Let's have a sum. Let's do this one. What does that equal? Who wants to come and write it on the board? Anybody can do that one? Phoebe would like to come and do that one. Do you want to come and write it on the board? You can do that, can't you? Helen. They're trying to mislead her here and give her the wrong answer. That's well done. Excellent. That's fantastic. Right. Good. We're getting a bit more risky here now. Anybody want to do this one? Who wants a pen? Who wants a pen? Well done, Ollie. Ah, very good. Trump, is that the right answer? Right, one more. Right, 17 times 160. Who can do this one? Come on, we're in the Thames Valley here. There must be a few mathematicians around. Oh, maths teacher. That's what we need, isn't it? Oh, yes, I forgot about that. Yes, she was the one trying to mislead Phoebe earlier on. So, come along, Helen. This is when I start worrying about whether I have the right answer on my script. I think, what's the verdict on that?
You're fired. I don't want to
see your face.
Oh, dear, dear. Anyway, right. Okay, now I'd like you, in your little groups that you're sitting in, having practiced that maths, I want you to now to read the passage. So maybe you want to get somebody in your little group to read it out loud to the rest of you. And you've all got it on the back of your server sheet. And I want you to be looking for the maths inside this passage, because afterwards I'm going to ask you to spot the maths. Tell me what the maths is. Okay, how are you getting on? Have you all at least read the passage? I hope you have. Okay. Has any... Nope. One more minute. Okay. Do you want to quieten down? Okay. You've all read the passage, yeah? Did anybody see any maths in it? Who said yes? Mike? Graham? Do you want to come up and explain your maths? You may use the board if you wish.
Right. I'm an engineer, so I basically yes. always put a 10% design margin on things. Am I allowed to?
Yeah, you can do whatever engineering tricks you're allowed to do.
Okay, well, first thing we noticed was there was three circles. Between them, we've got 8,000 dollars. Anyone disagree? So, Lord Sugar started off with 8 bags of gold, lucky bloke. Mind you, the way gold prices have been going down recently, I'm not so sure he's so happy.
That's why he's giving it away.
I will write it gold, I won't use a chemical formula, I'm not that much of an engineer. It's AU if you need it. First one, how many did he turn the first five into? How many did he turn it into? Anyone? Who's done the maths? 10. So the first five went down to 10. What about the next two? How many did they go to? 4. And the last one? 1. Guess where the chubby finger's going. So, anyone smart up there? How many bags of gold did Lord Sugar end up with? 15 bags of gold. So this lot together came to 15 bags of gold. Okay, so as a rate of return... Anyone want to tell me what rate of return Lord Sugar made on his gold? 87.5%. It's not bad, is it? Anyone get that down late?
Thank you, Graham.
The last one is three servants. At the very end, how many did each one have? How many did the bloke who got one have? None. He got none. How many did the bloke who got four, how many did he have? He ended up with 4. And so how many did the bloke who got 10 have? No. 11.
Thank you, Graham. Mike, can you better engineer Graham?
Oh. I was just going to add, I'm also an engineer, but I like to keep my sums simple. So for the younger ones here, there's some very simple sums in there. So the guy who had 5 bags, he created another 5 bags. So there's a little sum for you. The other guy created 2 bags. For the deep thing is when you add nothing to something, you get the same. So there's some simple sums.
And you get them right as well. Well done, thank you. Well, that was very interesting. Very interesting indeed, especially Graham's in detailed explanation of the rate of return on your 8 bags of gold. Very interesting, but absolutely, completely and utterly wrong. I feel like a proper teacher doing this today. Isn't it? Never done this before. Right, okay, here we go. Right, there we go. Right, I was thinking of algebra. Right. Here's a little sum. I hope you can read my writing. This is quite complicated. I'll read it in a minute. Right. There you go. Here's the maths. Right. This is quite complicated. Okay. God has provided. God has provided in this passage. In this passage, it's 8 bags of gold, but God has provided so many things for all of us. And as I said before, it's not just your talents. It's not just your skills and your abilities and your spiritual gifts that God has given you. But it's all the privileges of being a part of the kingdom of God. So that could include lots of things, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later on as well. So God has provided so much for us. Now, what do we have to do that? What do we have to do with that? Well, we can see it in verses 19 to 21, can't you? The two servants who took the gold and then invested it, the wise and loyal servants, what did they do? Well, 19 to 21, they said, you can see that they trusted the master. They trusted the master. They had trust in him. Then they used his gold. They took a bit of risk. They were using somebody else's gold. And they earned 2 times more. They took action. So they trusted the master. They took a bit of risk by investing his gold. And they took action. They actually earned a lot more for their master. And it's all because God provided for them. And that all equals God's adventure. God's adventure. And if you are a Christian here, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you said to Jesus, yes, I trust you, and I want you to forgive me for your sin, for my sins, and I'm going to make you king over my life, then we are all part of God's adventure. Because God has provided for each one of us. And we can trust God because we know God and we love God and we know that he's good. And we can take that little bit of risk for him. And we can use whatever he's provided us with to take a little bit of risk. We can take that action, and together that's going to add up to God's adventure. So that was the first sum I was thinking about, but there's another one. And that is in verses 24 to 30. Let's see if you can see this, and I'll write it up. Have a look at verses 24 to 30, and in the meantime I'll be writing it up. Okay, can you see that? What did the third servant do? Well, he was still provided, wasn't he? God still provided for him. He still gave him 1 bag of gold. So God still provides. But the third servant, he feared his master, didn't he? He feared him in a bad way. So he wasn't sure whether being around his master was a bit like being around Alan Sugar. He couldn't be sure that if he made a mistake, he wouldn't receive a very big telling off. And he didn't want to be told off. So he didn't take any risk. He took the safe course of action. And he didn't actually gain anything. It was inactive. What he did was inactive. He buried the gold in the ground, in a hole in the ground. So God still provided. But because this man feared God, he didn't take any action and he took the safe option. And that all adds up to God's displeasure. So instead of living in God's adventure that the other two servants lived in, he ended up living in God's displeasure because he wasn't prepared to really trust God and wasn't prepared to really take the risk and the action that God was looking for with the privileges of the kingdom of heaven. We're going to sing again. And we're going to give thanks to our God and King. And we're going to acknowledge in this song that he is good above all other things. And his love for us endures forever. And that means that we can really trust him. We don't have to fear him in that wrong sense of being afraid of him. We can trust him because he is good and his love for us endures forever. Let's stand and we'll sing this song. Thank you. Please sit down. So before we sang that song, we were talking about trust plus risk plus action times by God's provision equals God's adventure. And that's what all of us can be involved in, God's adventure. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. Because I said before, if we're part of the kingdom of heaven, if we're part of the kingdom of God, then we have lots of privileges, but we also have responsibilities as well. Can I have some help, some small ones, just to find things in my treasure box? Because there's a few things in my treasure box. Come on up. And another one, and yes. Yeah, all three of you, come on, yeah. Right. Okay, in my treasure box I have some things that might just help us to think about some of the privileges. Privileges means a right, something that is really special that we have because we are part of something. In this case, we're part of the kingdom of God. So if you can have a look in your... there's no chocolate involved in this one, I'm afraid. But but anyway, can you bring something out of the box? Doesn't have to be... Oh, he's found a money box. Okay, one thing that we've been given by God, both as individuals and families and as the church, is people who are good at looking after money and people who are good at bringing money in. So that's one thing we need to give thanks to God for. Thank you very much. Yep, you can leave that there. Yep. Just bring another thing out. Okay, what have you got? Ah, there's four of those. You need the rest of them. Where are they gone? Miriam recognises those because I stole them from her bedroom earlier on today. That is a little Playmobil family. What do you think that might remind us of? Our own families, yeah. So we've been given by God our own families, and they're wonderful privileges, aren't they? And to have a Christian family is a fantastic, wonderful thing to be involved in as well, as we learn together and we rub those sharp edges off each other sometimes as well, as we all learn together how to follow Christ. Let's have something else. What else we got? We have an owl. Now that owl is actually a dove in your imagination, so just imagine that owl is a dove. What do you think that might remind you of? Peace? Yeah, okay. I wasn't quite thinking of that, but go on. Spirit, Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. Holy Spirit, we have been given the Holy Spirit by God. What a wonderful privilege that is to have the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, living inside of us as Christians, helping us to live the Christian life and also giving us gifts to be able to live it even better. So what a wonderful privilege that is. Let's see what else we got now. We got a cross. That's one or two crosses. That's great. What we might associate that with? Jesus. What did Jesus do? He died and he rose again. And why did he do that for us? Salvation, forgiveness. What a great thing to have as a privilege of being part of the kingdom of God. Salvation, forgiveness. Let's have something else. Okay, it's a recorder. It's a... And we have musicians and people good at playing music. And that's another great thing, isn't it? Particularly for this church as a body, as a family, it's great to have musicians, isn't it, who can play music for us week by week. What else we got? Quick. What's that? Very good. Marvellous. Thank you very much. That reminds us of teachers. So we have some wonderful teachers in our congregation and in our families as well. So we learn so much from our families, but we also learn in church here because there's people here who are so good at teaching, particularly our young people and our children. Fantastic. What else we got? Oh, we have a textbook of English law. That's another thing, isn't it? That we have people here who are wonderful at dropping things. We have people here who are really good at law. And that's something that we need as a church as well, isn't it? And God has provided that for us. That's great, isn't it? What else we got? Oh, we have a rather smart tea towel. Being modelled by Miriam here. That reminds us that we have people who cook and clean and do all sorts of wonderful things for us and provide hospitality in the church. And that's another thing that we really benefit from, isn't it? You need to bring the pieces of paper out as well. Okay, oh, there's money. We've got money. What else we got? Do you want to pull that one out? Okay, so little people, that's to remind us of the church. So it's a wonderful privilege of being part of the kingdom of God, is to be involved in the church, God's family here on earth. That's us. That's this lot here. And it's a wonderful privilege, I think. Anyway, do you think? To be involved in the church and to have the church family here as well. What else do we? What do we have? What do you have? Yeah. Hold it up so everybody can see. It's a church. Hold it up so everybody can see, though. But it's a funny church, isn't it? Because it's crossed out. Because we don't have a building, do we? That's one of the things we don't have. But God has provided this building for such a long time. But as you know, things are all uncertain again. We're still not sure what's happening. So we don't actually have a building. But does it matter? No. Because God has provided us with so many other things, including money. People are good at looking after money. People are good at law. People are good at all sorts of different things that help us God has provided us that so that we can have a real adventure with him if we trust him and take a few risks and we're prepared to take the action that we need to take. It doesn't matter we don't have a building, because we do have what Miriam has. We have a school and a noisy dove. We have a school. God has provided this school for us to meet in for the time being. So that's fantastic, isn't it? Thank you very much. That's brilliant. I think that's all my things. Okay, so there's some of the privileges that we have of being part of the kingdom of heaven. Now, you've all got a little privilege card. You all wear privilege cards. You get privilege cards from all sorts of people and companies and things like that. And it gives you certain benefits if you own it. So there are some pens here. So I'm going to hand these around. And I'd like you just to spend a little bit of time just thinking for yourself what God has provided particularly for you. Okay? What has God provided particularly for you as a privilege of being part of the kingdom of God? It may be one of these things that we see here on the table, or it might be something completely different that you can think of. Let's think of something that God has provided particularly for you. That's on one side of the piece of paper. On the other side of the piece of paper, so draw a line down the middle. On the other side of the piece of paper, just think about how you might think that God wants you to use that, whatever he's given you. So think about what he's provided for you and how you might use that and what risk you might have to take for God. What's God provided and how are you going to use it for God? Okay? Are you done? I'm running out of time, I'm afraid. I've talked too long. So we're going to have to be quick. Right, when you're done, can you just have one person in your little groups, pick them all up, and then we'll come and put them in this box over here. I won't be reading them afterwards. It's between you and God, so it will remain secret. But let's come and put these up in the box as though we're offering them to God. And I'm going to put all these other things back in the box as well. So when you're done, gather them up and bring them over here. Okay. Are they all in? Okay, let's quieten down again. Okay, let's quieten down because we're going to pray. Great, thank you for that. Let's pray, and all those things we're going to give to God in prayer. So they're all in our treasure chest now. Okay, let's pray. So in verse 21 of our text, the master answered, "You did well. You are a good and loyal servant. Because you were loyal with the small things, I will let you care for much greater things. Come and share my joy with me." Father God, we thank you and praise you for the privilege of being part of the kingdom of God. We thank you that because we love you and know you and have put our trust in you, you can come and be the king in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you have provided for us so many different things, all the things that we've written down in those people's paper and put inside this box. And we give those things to you now, Lord. You provide them for us so that we can trust you, take risks, take action for you and for your glory and for the glory of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us to do that in our lives. Give us the strength, the power, and the courage that we need to take risks for you, trusting and knowing and loving you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If we remain like that now, Ava's going to come and lead us in our prayers, and then we've got one more song, and then we come to an end.
Shall we pray? Dear God, we are here today as one family before you. As your Father, we ask that you bless us all and help each one of us to be strong in trusting you. We thank you that every one of us has been given a special gift by you. We pray that you would help us trust you and guide us in using our gift to please you. Help us to trust in you and guide us in taking risks to serve you, knowing we can always lean on you to help us through these challenges. This we ask through your Son, Jesus. We pray for continued unity and confidence in your plans for our venue. We, as your children, bring before you our uncertainty of our meeting place, but we trust and believe you will provide for us. We believe your blessings are beyond our imagination, and we are trusting and putting our faith in you to lead us and guide us through this time of need. Please help us not to give up, but to be strong in our faith and use our different gifts for your work. We also remember those who are sick, suffering, or in mourning. May your Holy Spirit and anointing power sustain and heal them. We pray particularly for Kirsty and family after the death of her father. May you give strength and support to them at this time. We commit Philippa's dad, Mark's mom, into your mighty hands, and Helen McSweeney's mom, who is in care. We continue to give thanks to Rosie's dad, who is feeling much better. May your name be praised. We pray for John White. We give thanks for his gradual recovery. May you continue to give him strength and encouragement through the ongoing healing process in hospital. We pray for all those returning to school after half-term break. Help each one of us to focus on our schoolwork. We also think of those who have exams. May your Holy Spirit be with them to help them through the exams period. We continue to pray for our minister, Mark, and also for continuous wisdom and faith in leading us. Bless Mark and his family, and thank you for their family break this week. Finish off with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. On earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory. Amen.
Thank you, Ava.